The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
Welcome in. Campo and Joe, Facebook Live. If you're tuning in on Facebook Live, we appreciate you always checking us out. Anywhere you find us in podcast form via watch or listen, we appreciate it. Joe C. from XL Primetime, our head coach, Dave Campo, as we are talking Jaguar football. I'll tell you what, this is a big day, coach. 4 o'clock deadline. We're coming on Facebook Live before 4 o'clock, but we already know what didn't happen with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and that was ink Josh Allen to a deal. So he's been he will be tagged.
Yeah, a little bit disappointing. At the same time, it does give you an opportunity to really work through the deal, mm-hmm. you know, and there's no timetable for it, which is in some ways a plus,
right?
Because you can deal with some other people and see where you're at and where you can go and all that. But disappointing from the standpoint that we were hoping that we might get the whole bowl and be able to get Ridley involved in one way, shape, or another. And it looks like they're going to let him go to free agency.
Well, it's been a busy, busy day. And if you're a Jaguar fan, you've been keeping up with this. But let's at least give fans who are, well, they're actually working instead of us just hanging out and talking sports.
Hey.
So let's catch everybody up, all right? One of the big pieces of news that came out earlier today is they cut Darius Williams. In doing so, they save about $12 million. They clear a fair amount of money off of their salary cap as well. Just, I don't know, maybe an hour and a half after that, they decide to let Rayshon Jenkins go. Another savings over the $8 million mark. Couple those two with Foley Fadakasi being released yesterday on his birthday, by the way.
Yeah,
he was released. And so those are three guys that are gone. Then they make the decision to tag Josh Allen, and we'll get to the Calvin Ridley discussion here in a second, but just going back to what Coach said, you know, the idea would have been if you did all these other things, like these three decisions, didn't it give you the feeling that they might want to try and get something big done today as opposed to tagging Josh Allen?
Well, first of all, they didn't have to have that money to make a deal with Josh Allen, but it looked like for a while what they were doing was clearing things so that they could make the deal and then still have be able to tag Ridley probably.
Yeah.
And so obviously that didn't work out. And, you know, it's not an exact science. You know, you just don't know until you see what they have in mind.
All right. So here's where we are as far as numbers are concerned. Josh Allen gets a franchise tag, at least for the here and now, and the linebacker tag is $24 million, okay? And so that's a big number, and he is going to play under that linebacker label instead of the idea of maybe him walking up, putting his hand on the ground, and being a defensive end. Believe it or not, there's a little bit of a difference between that defensive end, only 21.3 compared to the outside linebacker of 24. And that's because of the Khalil Macks of the world,
right,
the Joey
right.
Boses, the Nick Boses, that they've driven that price up. But when you see that deal and you're saying it's not a terrible thing, and I kind of agree with you, everyone gets mad and says, come on, pay the man. He's proven 17 and a half sacks. He deserves his contract. It's not like they're not going to pay him. At the minimum, they're going to pay him $24 million.
Well, first of all, I don't think they're going to let him out of here.
Yeah.
So he's going to get a legitimate contract, unless he just wants to sit out or play on the trans. You know, if they want him to play on the
franchise tag,
that's a different story altogether. But I think that they're not. You know, they haven't done enough with guys that they drafted,
right?
And you know, given the second contract and all that. They need to keep the good ones, and he's one of them.
Right. Yeah. There's only so few. When you go back over the history of this team's draft, there aren't too many that are deserving of a second contract. He definitely is one of them.
Right. Absolutely. So, he's going to make his money. The players don't like the tag if they have to play on it because there's a chance they might get hurt. They don't have another deal in place and all that kind of stuff. But at the same time, are you going to turn down $24 million? No, that's pretty good piece of change in itself.
Yeah, and so when you go back, Cam Robinson was tagged a couple times. He ended up getting a long-term deal. He's still getting paid off of that. If you do the math of when he was tagged and then when he got his ultimate new deal with the guaranteed money, he made quite a bit of money off of that contract.
Right.
And so A lot of decisions have to be made. It ain't easy. Last week when we got the news that the salary cap was going up, it's up to $255 million. A lot of people might have thought, and I probably was in this camp, that they would be able to work closely to that timeline and get a deal done. It just didn't happen.
Well, I think we all kind of felt that way. And the one thing that I've always, as a coach, I always worry about the guys you have as opposed to the guys you lose. Mm-hmm. So to me, I was hoping that we would be able to do something and get both of those guys in the fold, because I think that probably is the best for the team as far as winning and losing next year. Mm-hmm. But once that didn't happen, it's move on. Mm-hmm. You know, now you got to find a way to get something that's going to, you know, rival what you lost. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's why you don't really know what you're going to do in the draft until free agency is done. You don't know what you're going to do in free agency going forward until that it transpires.
So let me just do the little rant portion of Campo and Joe, because I guess I need to qualify this. Just because Calvin Ridley didn't get a deal done today, or they decided the Jaguars had to put the tag on Josh Allen instead of Calvin, it doesn't mean the book is 100% closed.
Right.
Okay? Free agency still is not opened. There is a tampering period where they can put some offers on the table, talk to him, see if they can convince him to come back. That aside, this is where the rant comes in. They have an empty wide receiver room. They got two injured guys and one guy that may or may not be coming back, because now Calvin Ridley knows he's going to be paid over $20 million a year at a minimum.
Right.
And so the only reason I say it's an empty wide receiver room, Coach, is because you have an injured Zay Jones and an injured Christian Kirk coming back. I know you don't agree with that opinion, but I'm just telling you, they better have some weapons for Trevor to get the football to.
Well, I always appreciate your opinion. You understand that, right? Let me just start with that.
Yeah.
The one thing you have to be careful about when you're negotiating contracts and negotiating deals and all that stuff is overvaluing.
Right.
You know, because you might have a little issue over here and you overvalue this guy because it helps you in that position. Mm-hmm. It comes down to, I think we lost a lot when we lost Kirk.
Yeah.
You know, to me, Kirk's the best receiver out of all of them. So he's coming
and the
back,
most reliable.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy that you lose the middle of the field without him. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to me, that's an underlying factor that I'm sure that they're looking at, and I'm sure they feel like he's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, because we're not sure here, do we overvalue this guy and then overvalue Josh Allen and overpay him? And all of a sudden you're overpaying everybody.
Right.
So to me, I'm disappointed, because I think Ridley would definitely have helped us. Mm-hmm. And I do believe he'll be a better player next year than he was this year after missing the time. So I do value your opinion, and there is a concern there.
Yeah, because he just barely got back to where he had his football life, his football legs, his understanding of being on a team and competing. What were we talking about, 22 months, 21 months between the time that he stepped away and was injured when he was up in Atlanta and then when he came back? 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns, a lot of positive numbers, but not over the top numbers. And then the other thing that gets me is that if you don't have him, who do you have if you need to seek another veteran? And that's really where I have the most problem with this, is because you don't know. I love Christian Kirk just like you. And I know that Zay Jones, when healthy, has made a lot of big plays for this football team.
Right.
But I just don't know how healthy Zay is.
Yeah.
That was a significant knee injury for him.
Well, that's a concern.
Yeah.
I'm with you there. There's no question about that. There's a lot of things that come into play, because you have to remember that Calvin, you know, wasn't great this year. He was good. Mm-hmm. He wasn't great, right? He missed time because of gambling.
Right.
He missed time because of mental issues. You have to know in other words, if they know more about the situation, they may not value him as much as we do.
That's a very good point.
And I think that that's where it's very difficult for us as, I include myself as a media person now,
right.
not being in the room, you don't really know exactly what's going on in those negotiations. The thing that disappoints me the most is that I think Josh Allen has proven that he deserves to not let him out of the building.
Right.
And don't fool around with it. Get him signed up.
True.
Let him be a leader in the locker room. Let him show everybody else that, hey, look, you do well. They value us.
Right.
Let's go to work.
Hard work pays off. I did the
it's
right thing.
It's more about that to me than it is Ridley, to be perfectly honest with
you. Okay, so spend another minute there because you're a former head coach. You understand personalities in the locker room. Everyone has either a clock in terms of, you know, how long am I going to play, or they have how much am I going to get paid.
Right.
I only have so much time in this league. And so while I fully understand that, give us an idea from your experience there on either how damning it can be in this locker room if they don't take care of Josh Allen, or am I way off that in a couple of months they pay him and everyone will be happy?
Well, first of all, I love listening to Leon Searcy on the primetime show because Leon's been there, you know, and one of the things that I did, I wanted guys to make as much money as they could make. And I didn't want to get involved to where they would look at me and say, wait a minute, you know, you didn't give me what I wanted to everything to be. I'm for you. Let's go to work.
Right.
When you listen to Leon talk, those guys are very interested in knowing the trust factor between the administration and the players.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is something to the fact that, you know, if somebody doesn't get what they think they deserve, then they're saying if they'll do that to him,
right,
who had 17 and a half sacks, you know, I got 9 sacks. What are they going to do to me when my contract comes up?
Yeah.
So I really think that it can affect the locker room.
Right.
But I really, you know, I'm hopeful that the culture is good enough that that doesn't affect them.
Yeah, because I could see where it could fracture it. It could create resentment between player and management. Trent Baalke already has his detractors, so he's going to have to fight off some of that stuff. I'm sure Doug Peterson, the head coach, is going to tell him all the right thing and say, look, he'll take care of you. Shad will take care of you. And Shad has written every check they've asked him to write.
Right.
And so I just look at the Evan Engram thing last year. And even though Evan Engram came here, was only here for a year before he got tagged, that's different than Josh Allen, who's been here since he was drafted.
That's kind of my feeling.
And that I totally agree with. And then going not even only with the Leon stories, but I go all the way back to Big Baby, Marcus Stroud, who you know, and you were here coaching when Big Baby was here.
The Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air. Fast and reliable AC service.
And when Marcus Stroud and Fred Taylor and Daryl Smith, and those are all names that all you guys remember, they all wanted deals.
Right.
And they were reaching a point where the team were like, is Daryl Smith still worth it? He's got a little injury history. Is Fred losing a little tread on his tires? Is he still worth it? Is Big Baby, who might have to have microfracture surgery, is he still worth it? And the next thing you know, the team was tearing down 3 of their best players.
Right.
And that did not go well in that locker room.
Absolutely. And that's because, you know, you're a family and you want your brothers to get what they deserve. The thing that they don't understand, though, is sometimes it is a business. Mm-hmm. And that's a legitimate – you have the concern about Kirk and Zay Jones from an injury standpoint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, how about if you're the guy that's paying them $70 million over 4 years, whatever it is, you know, there's concerns there, and you have to be, you have to be cognizant of that.
Mm-hmm.
And as a player, when you come in, you really have to understand that it's a business and it's not about personalities all the time.
Yeah, it's the classic not for long. That's what the NFL stands for. And you got to understand it. Now, if we pair this up, I think, and I don't want to hit a panic button or anything just yet, because I know there's a lot of offseason left, and we're going to spend time on the combine and take a look at the, you know, what the future might be. and what they might be able to do in free agency. But right now, Coach, you have stripped away two starters in your secondary. You've not welcomed back one of your starting wide receivers. You have tagged Josh Allen, so you at the very least have kept him in the fold. You start looking at other starters. They don't know what they're going to do with Ezra Cleveland.
Right.
So now they're basically missing four, five, maybe six starters when you add them all up. Doesn't mean they won't be able to do something in free agency in the draft. But that's the thing I'm a little worried about right
now. Well, and I agree with that. But the thing that you have to, you look forward.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Rayshon Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Johnson that you just drafted.
Absolutely.
To take his place.
Which was a good draft pick.
You also drafted, albeit down mm-hmm. the line,
mm-hmm.
but you did draft the corners that are going to be fighting for a job if you mm-hmm. don't bring anybody else in. So they've seen something in them that they obviously feel like that maybe Monteric Brown and Gregory Jr. are ready to take Herndon and Darius Willen's place.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's a little bit of a retool.
Yeah, and I want you to make this point about the defensive coordinator, but as I set that up and continue complaining, okay, you've got seventh-round pick in Monteric Brown. You got a sixth-round pick in Gregory Jr. You got an undrafted player in Trey Herndon. Now, they've all been able to make plays at one time or another on this football team, but by no means should that make anybody feel great about what they have in the secondary. Now, they found Antonio Johnson in the fifth round.
Right.
And I'll remind everybody, this guy, as soon as they did that, he said, that's the second best safety in the draft.
Right.
And so that was a good pick by Trent Baalke. But my only point is that there's some holes there.
Yeah, that's definitely. They're retooling a little bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, but under the circumstances, in order to have that happen, Doug Peterson has to feel pretty good about what his future is
mm-hmm.
here.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
I may be completely wrong on that. But at the same
logic.
Time, his thought is we weren't very good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to make some changes. We've got some guys that we feel decent about.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, free agency is not over.
No.
And the draft's not over.
Yeah.
So, you know, they have an opportunity to bring some guys in certain spots.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you look at what their situation is in the interior line, the interior defensive line. I mean, they definitely have some areas that they have to improve.
Yeah, because I forgot to mention with the departure of Foley Fatakasi,
that
they really don't know exactly what they have interiorly. And I'm not going to bag on these guys because Roy Robertson-Harris – 2 seasons ago, had a great finish to the season. Devon Hamilton regarded as a rising player, and then he just had a terrible injury.
Yeah.
Adam Gostis, good but not great,
right.
But has made some plays here. They just don't have enough
in
that interior part of the defensive front. And maybe, as Hayes Carline put, they already were missing one cornerback. Now they're missing two, and so out of three, that's a little nervy.
You're bringing me down, Joe. You're bringing me down. I'm more optimistic than that.
And normally we're both sharing in off-season optimism, but I'm a little worried.
Listen, we just lost five out of the last six, so there's a reason that we're a little bit negative here. Now I understand that.
Yeah, but you can't help it.
Yeah. You know, again, I'm going to let you know how I feel after free agency.
Okay.
When free agency is over.
And the other part of it is they don't have a lot of money to spend.
Yeah, well, they got a little bit of money.
Okay. At least they did clear some cash.
Yeah, they cleared some stuff out of there. That's all part of it, I think. But to me, you're constantly looking to get better. And remember, I've said this before. It's not like we were 3-14,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
But at the same time, we were only 9-8. So when you look at it, and you know, I said the 3-14, that means that we're close. We got a chance to, you know, we weren't 3-14.
Right.
But when you look at being 9-8 2 years in a row, these guys that we're letting go, they weren't exactly 16-1 players.
Right. Right.
Okay. So you can retool
mm-hmm.
if you do the job in what you're supposed to be doing in free agency in the draft.
Yeah, because I'm not looking at this offensive line like I want to keep it 100% intact.
Well, they sound like they do, unfortunately.
Yeah, right.
I'm with you.
Yeah, and so I do feel like I there's certain starters I'm worried about losing. There's other ones that I want to lose. And you know, look, I don't want to bag on Luke Fortner any more than anybody else has. He started 34 games.
Yeah.
He has. He and Brandon Sheriff combined for 34 games last year. And so they're good players. They just didn't get the job done. And so I'm convinced that they need to address the interior part. And they haven't re-signed Ezra Cleveland. Yeah. So they there are three interior line positions that big old fat question marks.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. Yeah. And if I'm Luke Fortner, if I'm listening to 1010 XL and looking at the internet, I'm really bowed up and burned up, and I better get myself going because he's getting beat up pretty good.
Yeah, and he's a likable guy, but I think the worst thing any of us have ever done is whenever we start to describe somebody as a player, we go, first off, he's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
That is the worst way to start describing somebody when it comes to football. But, and this is the point that I've made and others have made, he was 6 years in college. He was a super senior. He got to go through the pandemic. So that means his body, maturity-wise, was probably close or at the ceiling.
Right.
Now he's going to his third year in the NFL.
Right.
How much bigger, stronger, faster is he going to get? And he's being, unfortunately, overpowered by big defensive line.
Yeah, I think it's a concern. I mean, there's no question about it. And, you know, when you're in a situation like they are where they're going to be a little bit under the gun this year, you know, I'd be looking to maybe try to get a little competition in here against him with him, whether or not it's a draftable guy or whether or not it's a free agent center that's out there, Quisenberry or one of these guys, whatever.
And there could be a guard out there that he could move to guard. And so there's a lot of things.
Yeah.
Mark Long did report from the Associated Press that they're expecting, or at least there's a feeling, that they will look for a veteran to come in.
I think they'll come in with somebody that, you know, kind of like a Shatley, only hopefully better than Shatley.
Exactly, exactly. That's really what you want. You can't have what you've had.
Right.
It's got to be better.
You got to be moving forward one way or another.
Exactly.
And some of that is subjective, which we're seeing.
Real quick, you mentioned earlier Ryan Nielsen, the improvement of what you hope will be the actual coordinating the defense will help overcome a lot of these situations.
Hopefully, yeah. I mean, that's, to me, I think they've got a staff that might be a little bit better, a little bit more together. Great reputation on Nielsen as far as his ability to put guys into the right spots. They got the defensive backfield coach that was with the Cowboys, who I think is a really a good secondary coach, which Nielsen will need because he's a front seven guy.
Right.
I think that the guy understands the defense, what he wants to do and how he's going to do it. And hopefully that's going to make a big difference as well. But you still have to have some guys, you know, it's you got to have some Jimmies and Joes out there as well. So it'll be interesting to see.
It's always a combo. It's the X's and O's and the Jimmies and Joes. You better have both of them. And that's why, you know, this guy coached and made guys better. But you better also have good stock, good potential with players to work with.
Right.
All right, now shake those papers at them because we got to talk combine next week.
Okay.
But just hold them up just so they can see
all
that you've got. Okay.
I got a little info here.
I mean, he's got it all.
Got a little thought process here.
And so since we spent today's time on the franchise tag, the releasing of players, we'll start to really drill
these
down.
Put in my pocket.
Yeah. Make sure you don't lose them.
No, I don't.
But we'll get to what we saw at the combine, potential draft picks, a little closer to free agency next week, and then we're going to really start to find out how this team's going to take shape in 2024. Sound good?
I think we'll see some movement here relatively soon, know, as far as what they're thinking.
Yeah, I love it, man. This is the offseason.
Yep.
Welcome to the offseason. Coach Dave Campo, Joe C., thank you for hanging out with Campo and Joe. We'll talk to you next week.
This presentation of the Campo and Joe podcast is brought to you by Bold City Heating and Air, faster, reliable AC service.